Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.
Hi, everyone. Welcome. I'm stopping by to talk about some new things with you. It's a new year, and I want to make sure that I make something that's fresh. Yeah, lately I've been playing some of the best of my program. You've probably noticed, those of you who've listened for quite a while. Some of the best of my programs, I think, but I often will add new stuff in. So of the 28 minutes, sometimes maybe 12 minutes is best of and the rest of it is new, or 20 minutes is best of and the rest is new, so like that. And I'm not sure why, but that's just what I've been doing. But I want to do something that's new and that's fresh for you. Brand new, and hopefully it'll be of value to somebody listening in today. We always have new listeners, so I just want to mention really quickly, this is a ministry of charity. I buy the airtime to help people with stress. I've been helping people with stress now for over 35 years. Actually, I'm in my 36th year on the air now. I'm a non-denominational pastor. I'm a pastor, but I don't belong to any particular organization. And I don't have a church you can belong to. I just talk to you on the air and you hear. And if something that I say is helpful to you, then that is good. So with that said, let's get started. Fasten your seatbelts. Here we go.
Welcome to Shedding Shackles. Today's topic is God and Intuition. And now here's your Shedding Shackles host, Roland Trujillo.
So, the problem that people have is basically an identity problem. We identify with everything else except our Creator. And when you identify with something, well, see, how can I say this? Let me go back. When you react to something, when you react to something or someone, something of it gets inside of you. See, and it works at any level, from the most mundane and basic to spiritual level. But I'll just give you an example so you can see that what I'm saying kind of makes sense. For example, if you go out, let's say, and you encounter, something unusual. There's an automobile accident, or you see two people fighting, or someone comes up to you and says something rude. All right. Then you remember those, don't you? And the more you remember them, the deeper they're etched in your memory, see? So what has happened is that a little piece of the identity or an image of the outside has gotten on the inside. And that little piece of identity, see, if you continue to think about it and dwell upon it, you're feeding it. Or if you resent it, you're feeding it. And so it can then grow. If you feed it, and how do you feed it? By thinking about it, dwelling upon it, pondering it, trying to figure it out, resenting it, getting angry at it, being horrified by it, whatever. That feeds it. So, but if you don't feed it, then overnight you go to sleep, and then overnight somehow your brain is very good at clearing its cache. You know, like the computer, you clear the cache. It's very good at cleaning the cache. And the next morning, it's gone. See, we see so many things that if you had a memory of everything, it would totally bog down your mind. But there are certain things. Now think back. In your life, you've seen millions upon millions of things. And you've witnessed millions upon millions of things. And you've watched television, and you've seen all kinds of things. But there are a few that are etched into your memory. Something your father said to you, or your mom said, or something that somebody did to you. Something you saw, especially when you were young and impressionable, something somebody did to you, see? Or a certain scene from a movie. You saw something, and there it is etched in your memory. Somehow it was a shock, and somehow your reaction to it, see, it etched it in. So I think you got the idea. All right, so it, you know, it can't be helped. We're all born of the flesh. We're first of the earth and later of the spirit. So that's the way it is. But hopefully a child will grow up with few traumas and not too many bad experiences, and protective parents can grow to be a happy, healthy, whole young adult and go on to a good life. But a lot of us, something happened.
You're listening to Shedding Shackles with Roland Trujillo, Christian stress management on the radio for over 34 years. Do you feel stressed out? Do you worry a lot? Why not check out Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo, heard weekends on this station.
Hi, this is Jeremiah Trujillo, the producer of Shedding Shackles. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, give us a call at 510-455-8851.
We're all born of the flesh. We're first of the earth and later of the spirit. So that's the way it is. But hopefully a child will grow up with few traumas and not too many bad experiences, and protective parents can grow to be a happy, healthy, whole young adult and go on to a good life. But a lot of us, something happened. Something was said and we resented, or the atmosphere, something caused you to resent the way your mom yelled at you or criticized you and your dad sat there and said nothing. Or the way your dad, you know, when you saw some other kid that was really good at sports and you saw your dad, how your dad really liked that and was impressed by this other kid that was good at sports and you weren't as good at sports and your dad seemed to like that other kid more than you. Things like that. So I'm just giving you a couple of for instances so you can look into your own memory and kind of remember. But the point is that these things got inside, and then they formed a basis. See, so the rest of your life, there it is. And when, if the same thing happens again, then you react to it just like you did the first time. Or if you see something that's similar to that, or somebody that looks like somebody from your past, a situation that's similar in some way, you react to it again and again and again, and that keeps feeding it. So the point is that we shouldn't have all these other identities in us. We shouldn't have all these traumas in us. We shouldn't have all these memories in us. We should be clean and every day to see things with fresh eyes so that you're completely free to discover new things. You're free from the baggage of the past and ready to move forward. You're not inhibited by the past, or there's nothing from the past that keeps coming back for you to deal with, and you never deal with it quite right, so it keeps coming back. None of that. You're totally free. See, almost like you were when you were a little tiny child and you jumped from bed in the morning, rubbed your eyes, you didn't have any bad memories, and you ran across the carpet to have a beautiful, exciting day of all kinds of adventures and learning and discovery. That's the way you should still be, even if you're 70 years old. Okay, but instead, the past bogs you down. So what's that all about? Well, the problem is that you have reacted. See, it's the reaction.
You're listening to Shedding Shackles, a breath of fresh air on the radio.
If you went through life with a little bit of, what's the word to use? With a little distance. And you didn't react to things. Yeah, you saw, you watched, you observed. See, some things you didn't understand and you wondered about them. Other things were, all right, they were concerning. but you didn't worry about them. Other things, you just weren't sure, and so you, but it didn't faze you. It didn't change you. It didn't alter your life. It didn't destroy your faith. It didn't destroy your calmness. It didn't destroy your love. See, if you resent somebody, it takes away your love. If something really upsets you, it can make you doubt. It can impinge upon your faith. But if you went through life and nothing made you lose faith, nothing made you lose confidence, nothing made you resentful, things happened, and yeah, some things were unpleasant. You know, like if you go outside and you stub your toe or there's cold wind blowing on your nose. Okay, maybe it's not pleasant, but you don't have to resent it. All right. You open the refrigerator and you feel like having some milk and there's no milk. Okay, there's no milk, but you don't have to resent it. Somebody walks by you on the street and somebody you know and you say hi and they don't say anything, just walk by you. Okay, you don't resent it. Maybe they didn't hear you. Maybe they've got earplugs in their ear and they're listening to something and they didn't hear you. So don't worry about it. See? All right. So you try something and you fail. All right. You pick yourself up, you dust yourself off, and then on with the show. See what I mean? So you have to be like that, where things don't get to you, don't form that kind of a memory that I was talking about. It keeps coming back. So you don't lose your identity. And what is your identity? Well, your original identity, well, of course, you're a child of your parents and so on, but you're a child of God. And as a child of God, He's the one that you should identify with. You should admire Him and His personality and His greatness. See, it's good to be in awe of Him and to respect Him and to honor Him and to obey Him and to love Him and to want to get to know Him. That's good. That's a positive thing because that's what we were meant for. But if you go out in the world and somebody steals your pen, and then you become very resentful over it, then you start hoarding pens, you start buying pens, and before long your house is filled with pens, and then you have to worry that somebody's going to break in and steal your pen. You see what I mean? I'm just making an example, but I think you've got the idea. So you're a kid, and then somebody laughs at you and makes fun of you, and then the rest of your life, you hate that kind of a person? Does that make any sense? What does it do? It ruined your love. You try something, you fail. You know, you open up a lemonade stand on the corner and nobody comes and buys anything. Okay, you failed. So no big deal. Try something else or do it again next week or let it go and forget it. But if you resent it and are angry and seeing it causes you to doubt yourself, somebody says, hey, you stupid. When I opened up my lemonade stand, I made $50 the first day. Ha, 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 ha. And you resent it bitterly. It causes you to feel a terrible self-doubt. You think, well, maybe I'm no good. Maybe I'm stupid. See, you start dwelling upon that suggestion. And then you either think you are stupid or else you try to compensate. You go out and get a degree in business to prove that you're not. See what I mean? So we ought to go through life unscathed so that you are a child of God. And then He provides. He provides. As His child, He provides for you.
Good to have you along. In today's world, it's easier than ever to lose awareness and become bound by the worries of the world. Here at Shedding Shackles, we're dedicated to giving you the tools you need to become free. God wants you to be free, and His tools are free to borrow, and they last a lifetime.
Why not try Roland's free meditation? Give it a try today at sheddingshackles.com. Roland says that with a sincere attitude, the little meditation may be all you need to get started. What have you got to lose? You've tried everything else. Now try the real deal. The meditation is totally free at sheddingshackles.com. Get started today.
See, but if you're a child of the world, you turn your back on God and you're a child of the world. Okay, you hated those kids because they were smarter than you, or they were more popular than you, or better athletes than you, or parents seemed to like them better, or the girls or the guys liked them better. So then you decide you want to be like that, and you study them resentfully. You try to imitate them. See, you try to do all these compensations to become like them. And so they become, I don't want to say they're not your God, but you see what I mean. They become the focus of your existence. And you never become who you were meant to be. So there's a way of being a success that comes naturally. You know, some people are just naturally, I think quite often God gives people a special talent. Some people can make money really easily. They just make money. It's just amazing to me. I can't do that. But they can. All right, so they have a gift. They have a knack for it. I don't know. It says somewhere in the Old Testament that God gives, I forget who said it in the Old Testament, but it said God gives you the power to make wealth. All right, so they could do that, but you can do something else. Remember Leo Buscaglia? He was such a nice man. He said, okay, if you're not an apple then, and you're a lemon, then be the best lemon that you can be. Don't try to be an apple. Just be a lemon. See what I mean? So whatever you are, see, you'll grow naturally. God provides. He provides opportunity. He gives you some gifts, some talents. He gives you time, and opportunities come along. Doors open. People appear. It's amazing. All right. But you need to stay close to Him. You need your awareness. You need your intuition, which He also gives you. You need to be attuned to the moment, to the rightness of things, and watchful. Instead of getting angry at something and getting all fixated on what somebody did or said, no, your consciousness is free, free to be watchful. And then you're free to notice little things. Einstein, the great scientists, they notice little things. And from those little things, they note it. It's something they're supposed to note. And then they make a great discovery that way. Little things. I don't know, some of you probably remember there used to be something called Woolworth. It was the Woolworth store. And they had a lot of things. So it was like, what would be the equivalent today? I don't know. I don't even know what the equivalent would be today, but they were all over the place. And they were like a variety store and had anything you could possibly want. They had it, especially little things they had. Well, it was founded by a man named F.W. Woolworth. He was the man who founded the great Woolworth retail stores. And one time he was in a little country store. Now, a long time ago, if you went into a store, like in the days of the Old West, if you went into the local store, everything was behind the counter. And if you wanted to see something, then the clerk there would get it and bring it so you could look at it. Everything was behind the counter. I mean, maybe they had, I don't know, they might have had a barrel there with pickles in it or something, and you could eat a free pickle, or there might have been something out there. But for the most part, most of the stuff was behind the counter. Well, there was one of these little stores, and they had a whole bunch of stuff they were trying to get rid of. So they put a table out in the middle of the store, out in the middle of the room, and they put a bunch of stuff on it. And shoppers came in, and everybody was gathered around that table because it was so much fun to look at all these things that were there and to touch them and to try to figure out what do I want. And F.W. Woolworth noticed just how popular it was to have all the items out there where people could actually touch them and look at them, see what I mean, with their hands instead of having to ask for them. Well, it gave him an idea. And the idea was, how about if I have a store where everything is out there and people can look at things and read the label and touch them and buy them. So that's the way stores are now. Few things are behind the counter, you know, like the pharmacy or things like that. But most of the things are right out there where you just take your shopping cart or what have you, and you just go along and you can touch everything. Try the clothes on, everything. So he saw that little thing, and that little thing, you see what I mean? He noticed that little thing. Nobody else noticed it, but he did, and he started a whole retail store just based on that one observation. He revolutionized retail shopping. And so you got the idea. So you need to be free to see, to realize, to discover, and to be very close to your intuition. And then you're free to notice little things.
A Meditation Moment with Jeremiah Trujillo. It's a sad fact that most people suffered some sort of trauma when they were a little child. Every time they reacted emotionally to something or someone, a little bit of the outside, a little bit of that pressuring person, got inside. They also gave up a little bit of their identity, until eventually they became completely remade from the outside in. It's beautiful when you have a little child that sees something and doesn't understand it, and he runs to mom or dad. As a parent, you must respond with patience. When you respond to a question from your child, it should come from within and be directed by the Creator. Find more inspiration for your day at SheddingShackles.com.
So you need to be very close to your intuition so that you can sense the rightness of things and sense when something is not right. And like that, and delicately, you will find your way, and God provides. And years later, you look back at all the things that have happened and that you've accomplished, and it's wonderful. How did all that happen? You don't even know, but it did. And God was somehow behind it. Remember, Adam Smith talked about the unseen hand of God. Well, you want the unseen hand of God working for you. And you need to find your Creator and love Him and worship Him. And you need to learn of Him, not just about Him, but of Him. See? So that when something wonderful happens, you kind of know He was in charge of it. There was a beautiful movie one time. It was called The Miracle on 34th Street. Do you remember? It was about a guy who thought he was Santa Claus. And there was a little girl and her mom didn't believe in Santa Claus. And the little girl wasn't really sure. But he said he was Santa Claus, and the little girl, they were skeptical. But anyway, he was a very nice man. And the original one, there's been different versions of it. But the original one, a long, long time ago, I think Natalie Wood was the little girl. And it was made, I think, back in the 1930s. It's so beautiful. The story basically takes place in New York City just before Christmas time. There's the Macy's annual parade, and the man who was supposed to play Santa Claus is drunk, and so they had to hire somebody else. So Doris, who's in charge of the parade event, hires a nice man to play Santa Claus, and everybody thought he was really a great Santa Claus. Kris Kringle was a great Santa Claus in the parade. Everybody loved him. But it turns out that he actually claimed that he was Santa Claus. And, of course, everybody was skeptical. The lady in charge, Doris, was skeptical. Her daughter liked Kris Kringle a lot, and she wanted to believe that he really was Santa Claus, that he really was Kris Kringle, but she wasn't totally sure. And, of course, a lot of other people thought he was a little bit nuts. So eventually it got to the point where they tried to claim that he was insane and put him away. And a nice man named Fred, who was an attorney, represented Kris Kringle. And in a really, really fun and wonderful courtroom scene, he got Kris Kringle set free. So it was a beautiful story. But along the way, Kris Kringle would sometimes talk to Susan, the little girl, and Susan revealed to Santa, he asked her, what would you like for Christmas? And she said, oh, nothing, nothing. But then finally she revealed to Kris Kringle what she really wanted. And she says, what I really want for Christmas is my dream house. And she talked about the house that she dreamed of, where she and her mommy and somebody her mommy might marry could live happily ever after. And Chris Kringle said, well, I'll see what I can do. But that's a mighty tall order to ask for a house. Well, at the very end of the movie, Fred, the attorney, and Susan's mom and Susan went to visit Chris Kringle where he was staying, which was a nice place for elderly people. And when they were all done, just as they were about to leave, Chris Kringle handed Fred, the attorney, handed him a note and said, "Now I want you to follow this route on the way home. Take this route to avoid traffic. Be sure to follow this route." Well, they took that route, and the little girl, Susan, was sitting in the back seat. And all of a sudden, she exclaimed, "There it is. There's my house. There it is. Stop, stop, stop." So they stopped the car, and she ran out, and she ran into the house. And then she came back and said, "This is it. This is the house." And so her mom and the nice lawyer named Fred went in, and they looked at the house, and it was very nice, and it actually was for sale. And they looked at each other, and they thought, well, we do love each other, so maybe we can get married. And this is a nice house, and it is for sale. And they thought, oh, okay. And then the man thought, could it be that Chris Kringle really, really somehow knew that this house was here for us? He thought, nah, it couldn't be. But then as he was getting ready to walk out of the house and they were going to get back in the car, he saw Chris Kringle's cane in the corner. And he saw that Chris Kringle had been there. And he rubbed his chin and he said, you know, maybe, maybe. So you need to live your life so that you rub your chin and these wonderful things happen. And you think, well, maybe, maybe God is in charge of these things. Maybe he is looking out for me. In fact, it won't even be maybe. You'll know. You'll discover that he is. And then you'll love him even more. Until next time, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.sheddingshackles.com. You'll find lots of free, helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is sheddingshackles.com. Please remember that Shedding Shackles is listener-supported. Thank you.
Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.